So how come, Pastor Frank, you don't have a private jet? Where am I flying to? I want to fly to Ituku, where I work. Where am I flying to? No, ask yourself. Where am I flying to? I want to fly to for Bible study. Before I taxi and take off, the person tracking from my house has reached here. Where am I flying to? You know why I don't have a private jet? I don't need one. How do I know the things I don't need? The things I can't afford. I'm telling you the truth. That's how I know the things I don't need. I just check and say, dear Lord, is this your job or mine? I know we are rich, that's not a problem. But is this your job or mine? God says, all right, how much money do you have there? So they said the thing is 6.2 million. Banky, what do you think? Is this my job or your job? He said, Lord, I just want you to confirm that it's your job. I like it also. You arrange it later, right? He said, fine, no problem. So my partner, right, the Lord, all right, we'll sign the check to release that thing later, right now. You know, it doesn't mean I don't have money. It doesn't mean I'm not rich. It's just that right now, we have thought about it, and it's not the proper time to release 6.2 million. So I'll tell you to go. But if you came and they said, how much? He said, that one, 20,000, and it's good for me. I said, Lord, I think it's good, isn't it? He said, right, I think I should pay for it. He said, go ahead, I've given you the money, and I pay for it. It doesn't mean I'm not rich if I can't pay for it. Let me tell you the truth. There are seasons in life, and there are lessons in life. If you give me 1 billion naira to dispense, I will not be able to learn certain lessons. All this one that Udechukwu sweats over generator, you think that God cannot just give us a bigger one without any problem? No, he can't. No, I've discovered that one. In fact, all right, I have discovered that even if I settle enough and think and pray, the Lord will do it quicker. But why? How will Udechukwu know how to handle generators with issues if he's going to bless somebody else's life tomorrow? If it doesn't go through that, you think I'm the only one God wants? You think you're the only one? The man has to be blessed by sweating over a faulty generator. It sounds funny, but I'm serious about what I'm saying. You don't know that God arranges events so as to use to bless you later in life. Part of the foundation for the multi-billion dollar company he will preside over is the time he sweated under a faulty generator. And what I'm saying is not supposed to make anybody feel good, as God is my witness. No, this is one place where I don't joke like that. Don't preach to make anybody feel good. It leads to short lives. I've told you I want to marry my wife for a long time. So, you understand what I'm saying? So, I won't lie to you while I'm preaching. Because I will die suddenly, another man will now marry her, and that one will pay me very seriously. Do you understand my point? Exactly as I understand them. I've told you before, relax. In Christ Jesus, your future has been settled. Are you getting my point? Let nobody tell you that the problem you have today is because you have a problem. I don't know that, you know, someone said that because there's no rich man in your family. That's why you're not rich yet. No. The reason is because you have to learn some lessons of poverty presently before God releases the abundance that belongs to you. That's a matter of fact. What have I said in all of these things? Flesh is limited. That's where I began from. It can fail anytime, no matter how plenty material things look like. The Bible says, don't set your minds on it. They can grow wings and go away. Therefore, what do we set our minds on? The Bible says that if our citizenship is from above, therefore we set our minds on what? Heavenly things. Only what God has done in Christ Jesus. That is what we set our minds on. What are the things that God has done in Christ Jesus? I refer to some of our old messages. Remember the one I mentioned? The image of Christ, your place in Christ, training to reign, I forgot to mention that, and destined to reign. Those four CDs, all right? Total, I've mentioned that will be more than 20 different messages. But listen to them, you will discover what God indeed has made you in Christ Jesus. I don't want to go over all of that again, but one thing I should say for sure is, number one, I said it before, he took you from a low place, a place of defeat, a place in which you were subject to the antics of the enemy, and put you on a high place. Therefore, you are not subject to the works of the enemy anymore. That's a matter of fact. That is what? A matter of fact. That was what he died to produce. Listen, I told you before, I've been smiling for a very long time. What do I mean? Ever since the time I started smiling, country was hard, at least personally for me. Then, much harder then than it is now. But I discovered long ago that I am not a victim. Are you getting my point? I discovered long ago that God made me a victor in Christ Jesus. I discovered long ago that life is in seasons. Therefore, if it appears like some things are not manifested in my life right now, it is because the season has not yet come. I discovered long ago that in this life I cannot fail. I discovered long ago that failure died with Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? Listen, my confidence always has been what Christ has done in me. And I'm teaching you the same thing again this evening, that your confidence should only be in what Christ has done in you. Listen, the failures of... No, please. Sometimes I don't like saying this, but if we don't say it, people will go and... Somebody will go and confuse them outside. Somebody will come and explain to them that there has been no rich man in your family. Tonight, rich men will begin. Listen. No, he said, what will happen tonight? Because tonight you will do something dangerous so as to kill off the dangerous things in your past. Please don't be angry with me that I'm always saying this thing. But I don't want anybody to take advantage of you. That's why I say it. I have seen people taking advantage of again and again and again and again. People tell me that they want to use one offering to break the back of poverty. And I start laughing. Listen to me. Everybody, listen. One offering does not break the back of poverty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Actually, I'm wrong. One offering does. And that's the offering of Christ Jesus on the cross. That was what broke the back of poverty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What am I saying? The back of your poverty was broken the day you believed in Christ Jesus. That's it. That day, that very day, God said, this one will not fail in life. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Please, this thing I'm saying is very important. That is the confidence with which you face life, so that everything that happens is just a transient passing period. I like what Miles Monroe said. We have seen the end, like God, from the beginning. And the end of the whole story is that I'm a victor. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? No, let me explain something to you. This is one of the expressions somebody used long ago. Many of you here, we like football, all right? So I'm not a football aficionado, but most of us here, we like football, right? Let's assume that, let me annoy some people. I don't know who I'm annoying, but let me just say. Let's assume that Arsenal is beating Man U. I know some Man U fans will be angry. Forget Man U. Let's assume that Enyimba is beating Aqua United. All right? Assume they are playing. Say Enyimba and Aqua United, they are playing. And then Aqua United dribbles. They come near the goal. All right? And you are an Enyimba fan. You get agitated. Your heartbeat goes up. Then when the keeper saves it, you are happy. You are relieved. Is that okay? Then let us assume now, after a while, Aqua United scores 2 goals against your team, Enyimba. You are not happy. So you are really upset. They bring food. Now, excuse me, let this game finish. You are watching. But let's assume it's an old match. You didn't watch it when it was live. And a friend of yours just comes and says, is it not this game in which this man played? And the player said, he's the one. He said, don't worry. Anybody returned 4 goals in the last 5 minutes. So are you serious? Yes, no, I was there live. I watched it. In fact, this person scored the first one. Second one was in the last, in the extra time, the 20 minutes extra time they gave, that the last goal was delivered. So who finally won? Of course, anybody won. We beat Aqua United 4-2. Are you serious? After that, you go relax. When they dribble, you know, you don't move anymore. Yeah. Go. If it's 4-2, you know, and they've scored 2 already. And then he enters the net. He said, I'm sure it was disallowed. Then look at your friend. What happened? He said, the referee will soon disallow it. Then you see the flag goes up and they point and put the thing down here. It was disallowed. Go, huh? You knew. Then he crossed the line. They finally find it 5 minutes to the end. He said, the goal supposed to don't begin now. Then, of course, true to it, the first one goes in, twam. Second one, twam. Third one, twam. They say, wait, they will soon stop. Then they will stop. Then they say, extra time. That's it. They put it down. He said, wait, where's the last one? Twam. What I'm telling you really happened to me. When Nigeria beat Argentina in, I think it was Atlanta 96. I refused to watch the match live. I hate the tension that goes with all this. He won't score. Before man go get heart attack, you know that kind of thing. And God will say, why did you die? He said, Lord, I was watching football. It's not nice at all. Let me make a long story short. Finally, I came out. My friend, I said, how goes the battle? He said, battle is bloody. I said, give me the facts. He said, 3-1, Nigeria down. I said, yeah, my God. So I went back to go and pray. Shagabala dogos. Meges, bolo, tuku, baga. Baba God. No, it wasn't Argentina, it was Brazil. Sorry, it was Brazil. It was Brazil. It was the semifinals. It was Brazil. I remember the prayer I prayed. I said, God, have you ever been to a samba party? All the nudity there, won't you punish it? I thought this is a real carnival. I said, God, you will punish all the nudity and all this, won't you? I said, but as for us, you will have mercy. You go try. Those are my prayers. I invoked all the sins that the Brazilians had committed that I was aware of. The only one I knew was that the girls used to dance naked and there was so much immorality at such times. I said, good. God, don't forget that one. Use that one against them. Then the next thing I knew was that, of course, the battle went the way it went. Nigeria finally equalized. And then in the extra time, you know, this is a matter of fact. As soon as Nigeria equalized, I came out to watch the rest. I said, we are going to win. I was so confident that we'll win. She will have equalized. I said, no wahala. I came out, sat down, said, let's watch the rest. The extra time I sat down, I still remember very well. I think somebody crossed the ball to Amokachi and hit Amokachi on the back. Kanu Wanko grabbed the ball, dribbled one person, and whoom! Into the net. I knew that was, I think it was a golden goal. Yes. Boom! As I tell you, I said, we'll go win. Then DBN in Lagos started playing the match again from the beginning. This time around, I sat down. That's the point. This time around, what did I do? I sat down. I watched it from the beginning because the excitement was so much. Ah! We finally, Okpoyo, for the first time, beat Brazil. Not only did we qualify for the finals, we beat Brazil. This invisible Goliath, this David has caught up with him. We're so excited. So DBN was so glad. They started playing the match all over again. So I sat down this time around, crossed my leg, and watched it through and through. Because I knew who won. Are you getting my point? What I have told you is the story of my life and the story of your life. Did I hear an amen? If you're a victor, give me an amen. If the end of the story is that you won, give me an amen. That is why you can watch the story of your life and not be afraid. Two goes against you, so what? You will soon reply. That this match will not end until you score the final goal. Our strength is not in what we have naturally. Our strength is in only what God has produced for us in Christ Jesus. And that's it. You know what that means? I said that natural identity, there are limitations. This one, there are no limitations. This one, there are what? No limitations. David faced Goliath. What happened to Goliath? Goliath died. A mountain faced Zerubbabel. God sent to Israel, don't worry. It's not by power. It's not by your mind. It's by my spirit. Listen, let me give that thing real, literal meaning. What it means simply is that events will happen. The mountain will collapse. You won't know what happened. Let me tell you a true story that happened in the Bible. Have you been here first? I've heard of the wall of Jericho. You know, a lot of people think the wall of Jericho fell down. The Bible didn't say it fell down, literally. If you study the Hebrew, literally. It didn't fall down. It sank. It sank. The angels cracked the walls around the house of Rahab, all right? And then they pushed the rest of it into the ground. This was what happened. 1 minute, the Israelites were around the army, so the wall, marching around. Then they began to shout. Once they gave that shout, the next minute, they saw there was no wall anymore between them and Jericho. I don't have time to discuss it, but that was exactly what happened. Those were big walls, because the Bible said that each man went right ahead of him into Jericho. If the walls tumbled like we imagined it did, you couldn't go right ahead of you. You have to first go backwards so that the tumbling wall wouldn't fall down on you. Then you climb over the rubble. The fact is that literal Hebrew said that and the wall went down under itself. That's the literal Hebrew. If you take the Hebrew, transliterate it, say, and the wall went down under itself. The truth is that the wall sank. That is, Joshua, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit. That is, a spiritual force came. Phew! Next thing, there was no wall. Literally, the angels pushed the wall into the ground. And then each man went straight ahead of him. That was exactly what happened. What am I saying? Some of the obstacles that look terrible in our lives. One day, you know what God will do? Phew! Push the thing into the earth. And you will wonder, wait, why did I buy this hammer and this chisel? Maybe I can get a refund on the tools that I bought. I'm telling you, that's what it means when you say it's not by power or by might, but by the Spirit of God. Listen, it's not, the flesh is what is limited. The spiritual man is not limited. It's not limited. How does it work? God brings resources towards you from every angle, things you did not imagine before. Let me tell you the truth in life. Don't forget that thing I told you. It sounds very simple, but it's a key to enjoyment and to prosperity. Every day in life, God has given you one assignment for that day. Do good. Don't ever forget that. Of course, you walk in righteousness at all times, as much as it depends on you. Then you do good and you enjoy yourself. That's what life is about. I'm telling you, God gives you an assignment for each day. And he said, do good and enjoy yourself. I'm telling you, all you need to do is what? Do good and enjoy. Don't worry about tomorrow. You'll be amazed at what God is going to bring across your way. One day somebody will give me a testimony that he said, Pastor, if you had told me this 3 months ago, I would have thought it was a joke. That is, your life will so change in the space of 3 months, you'll be amazed that, is this possible? According to Gordon's, is maybe this? Are you getting my point? No, really. That's how God works. But don't forget this. Flesh is what is limited. If you want to plot your life according to natural abilities, according to what the flesh can give you, you are saying that I don't want this kind of miracle to happen in my life. That's what you're saying. I hope you're getting my point. You want to boast? Please, boast only. Listen, even if you have what looks like natural advantages, don't mention it when somebody says, so what are you planning to do? Is that, you know now, you know my father is in, you know. Once you talk like that, you have taken the spirit out. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. You know, bank MDs were removed the other day in Nigeria. You know that? I know the people who will be crying. Ah! Because you were so sure that as soon as you graduate, Shebi, Erastus na your uncle now. Waiting. Your place, as far as you were concerned, was ready in Intercontinental. You were certain. You know, when God is doing things, I know there are people that God disappointed deliberately and by removing some of these people. Because that's the wisdom of God. He knows how to orchestrate events so as to frustrate some people to human imaginations. You have placed your hope on this man. God wanted to remove him 3 years ago. He said, no, this my son is graduating. He has to learn a lesson in life. So as you are there, so you have gone to chase woman because your uncle is an MD. You know that? Those of you who did it, you know what I'm saying. Marrying me, don't worry. Immediately after school, I'll get a very good job. You are so sure. Say, I'm telling you, Clara, what's your problem? I'm telling you that as soon as we leave school, I'm getting a good job. So this wedding will happen. He said, let's just trust God. And yeah, we are trusting God, but I know what I'm saying. You know that kind of but. It's God we are trusting, but I know what I'm saying. No? That as soon as we leave, we are settled. So let us pray, let us pray. The sister, you are looking at the sister, what are we still praying about? Just agree and then let's start getting married. All right. As you are praying, our Father, I thank you because life is good and you are settling me. All you are thinking is that you see, you have made my uncle an MD. Because look at that man of God there. The angel said, we can see him. Frustrate him small. So how do we want? That is uncle. Remove him. First thing you see, your uncle is gone. My God. I go forward and say, Clara, I think that my proposal, I want to withdraw it for now. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to me to think twice about my life. The fact is that you wanted to plan marriage based on the fact that you thought you knew somebody. That's called all flesh is what? Grass. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. No, God does that, frustrates people. There's a young man, my junior university, one day came to see me. He said, Pastor Banky, you have to see. So he rushed. He told me the story of his life. This was the one that interested me. He wanted to go to Britain those days. He was striving seriously. He strived all he knew to do. Each time he would go in, he was using almost a whole month's salary to pay for a visa interview once. They would deny him. Finally, he met a man. Who said, you didn't tell me on time. I know what to do. So we're going to do this. The guy was very rich, connected, said he will fund his account with a lot of British pounds and all of that. And then the man will go for the interview. Let me cut the long story short. The man told him, look, just let me know the day of the interview. The day before the interview, the man died. I'm not joking about that. The man died suddenly. Sudden death came upon him. The man died. That's why he ran and came and met me. And said, Pastor Banky, so, look, I need to see you. What is going on? He told me the story. I said, what is going on? He said, what do I do? What do you do? You are paid for the... No, listen. He had paid for the visa interview. He had paid. Only to call and tell the man, okay, so everything is ready. They said, "Who you want to talk to?" He said, "Sorry, we regret to inform you he's dead." Ah, that's when he ran and said, "Oh God, babe, we get to talk. We get to talk." This was many years ago. I sat him down. "So, what are you going to do?" I said, "There's nothing you can do. You will give the Lord thanks. Pray. You've paid for the visa. Have you not paid?" He said, "He has paid. Hey, go for the interview. And don't forget, God has a will in your life. The will of God is not always getting what I want. No, not necessarily. So whatever happens as a result is the will of God. And if they deny you again, oh boy, settle down, do your primary, start residency, and move on with your life." Of course, he went, they denied him again. And you know what I couldn't understand about people that he did not give up striving. Let me tell you something. If you strive long enough, you will get it. Doesn't mean it's a blessing of God. Israel shouted for a king. Out of exasperation, God gave them Saul. Like, leave me alone. Before all the troubles you have on the earth, spread to heaven. Take your king. I'm telling you, this really happens. I didn't know why the young man couldn't just leave. Because if I were the one, that's the end of it. God would need to drag me from my seat and push me down, put me on a plane and make me fly. If he wants me to still go anywhere. All flesh is what? Grass. But there are people who never imagined that they will go anywhere in the world. Then one day, something happens. A friend of mine told me, I told you the story before. She was not even planning to go abroad anyway. Now she has traveled several times. But then, somebody said that they are doing this course, you know. They gave her a photocopied version of a photocopy. And that one that was photocopied was probably also photocopied from somewhere. This was a great grand photocopy. You know what I'm saying? And she filled the form and submitted. Of all the thousands of people that have applied nationwide, two people were chosen. Without her doing anything more than filling that form and submitting, she was chosen. To make it in quote worse, her mother-in-law died and they were doing burial, you know, African burial. Everybody's head and money was inside it. She did not even bother to check. And weeks passed and they were looking for her. Finally, one day, somebody said, "Did you ever check this thing?" "I even forgot what is happening." They checked and said she was one of the two people chosen. So he said when she went to the Belgian embassy, they didn't believe this was a Nigerian. That is, "We told you, come and take an all-expensive paid trip to six European countries on a particular day. We're going for a particular project and stuff. We'll pay you everything. And we have not seen you for 6 weeks or so." He said, "Please don't be angry. It's my mother-in-law that died." He said, one day her phone rang and it was the Belgian ambassador in her room. He said, to her husband, "Excuse me, I'm talking to the Belgian ambassador. I'm coming." Now, jokes apart. And the man asked, "Do you want to come to Abuja to pick your visa or do we courier it to your house?" I mean, with ticket, with everything. And they now give them, I think, either €1,000 or $1,000 pocket money. Before then, she was not even planning to go anywhere. Please, I hope you are getting my point. All flesh is what? Grass. When God is ready, he will bless you more than you can ever imagine. Let me add one thing to it before I close. And that's the issue about your identity being unique. Don't forget what I said. I said you get your identity from two places. Number one, your origin. And number two, the calling and the gifts that God has given you in life. I just want to add this one to it before I leave. Because there's a problem we have. It's not really, let me put it like this. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, really, initially. What makes something bad sometimes is when we carry it beyond the sphere that God expected us to use those things. What I mean is this. For me to want to be like somebody else is okay as long as I'm a child. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. It is right for my son to look. I want to be like daddy. That's what God ordained that it should be, so that I will walk righteously in his presence. Are you getting my point? You know, everything that somebody is doing, the young people around, they want to copy. Are you following my point? Now, so it's good, but it gets to a point in life where your identity must be marked out. Your uniqueness must be shown. And that's what you call maturity. It's as you are growing that you get to a point where you realize that I can't be like Michael Jackson. I can't sing, I can't dance. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. No, I can't be. I may not even be like my father because the profession he is doing, it doesn't come out of my system. I lean more towards what my mother does. You know, that kind of thing. It begins to come. Then you find out along the line that you are half of what your mother does, one quarter of what your father does, and the rest what your uncle does. And some of it, nobody knows where it started from. And everything mixed together is your unique identity. The problem, let me say this. The problem is that most people can't understand that. So they will try and discourage you. That your gift is too unique. We don't know where you started from. Please don't be afraid to be different from the crowd. Nobody who copies anybody is ever excellent. If you preach like T.D. Jakes, everybody will know you preach like T.D. Jakes. I don't know whether you understand my point. They may be your congregation, they may love you, but they will know that our pastor is so good, he almost sounds exactly like T.D. Jakes. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. No. He said, I like the other man preaches. He preaches so well, you actually think it is Kenneth Hagin. That is, as good as you are second to somebody. You are following the point I'm making. You are following the point I'm making. What am I trying to explain? Don't be afraid to be different in life. It's very vital. The only way you will be marked out in life is if you have something. You know, I told you then that I wanted to do, I will do a spiritual economic empowerment and development strategy season 2. Can you remember it? Yes. Actually, that's one thing I wanted to emphasize in that. Everybody, what brings you out, all right, in life is that you have something unique you want to explain to people. Now, from next week, I'm going to talk about the fruitful life. What do I call it? The fruitful life is a discussion on how Christians get results. Now, the point I'm making from there is this. Is that what God wants to do in your life, like I told you before, is to write a law. You know what I call a law? God wants to show the principle, a part of him that's unique. Because one thing about us, we may be 6 billion currently on the earth, and maybe another 6 billion that had lived before now. You understand what I mean? The 12 billion of us, each one reflects a particular part of God. That's why God is who he is. He's so big, we need to be billions to be able to accurately represent him for this generation to see. Each person is supposed to write a copy of what God is as reflected in his person. That is why you are doing God a disservice. If you go through life and you are a copy of somebody else, you have cheated God in one thing. He has to wait for somebody else to reflect him accurately. He has to rearrange something so that his face can be properly described by people. There are many parts to God. And your assignment is to show one part of him. He has placed that part of himself in you. Listen. There are those who talk in one particular way. That's one way that God talks. You know the way I'm talking right now? It's another way by which God talks. I know what I'm saying. It's a matter of fact. There's a way you will walk. When you are fully developed and the Spirit of Christ is manifested in you, the angels will say, that's exactly how God picks flowers. I don't know whether you get my point. And you are picking flowers. They said, this is exactly how God picks flowers at this particular point in time. You are an exact representation. There is a woman loving her husband. He said, that's just the Spirit of God exactly. Now listen, this is one thing I want to understand. Why God shows that part is so that people coming after you can become more like God by observing that thing. I hope you are getting my point. So each person writes a part of God for the people after him to copy. I don't know whether you understand my point. That is not really copy trying to imitate, but we behold it. Because spiritual transformation is on the basis of beholding. If we see something clearly, let me give an example, generosity. I remember the first time I gave out a certain amount of money. I don't want to say because it's small now. You understand? How did I do it? It is just that I was present and I saw somebody else give out money. An amount that I thought people shouldn't dash people anyhow. And as soon as I saw it, I said, no, me too, I must do it one day. The first opportunity I had, I gave that amount of money. It wasn't much, all right? But for my level then, I was a student. This was enough money to feed me for like a week. I said, so people can dash people this amount of money. So I did. There was a brother once. I told the story. Some of us who know the story. He gave Kingdom World Ministries $1 million, you know? And, of course, I did... I'm not even praying that people, you know, help us with this work to that level. And what was his motivation? He heard that people were doing it. don't know whether I understand my point. He heard people were doing it. So he prayed that, God, you will give me the opportunity. So as God was blessing him one day, he said, hey, God has now finally answered this prayer. So he gathered the money and why it was like, ah, people are doing it. Me too, I can do it. Why not? Me too, I can do it. No, you are getting the point I'm making. That is, what happens is that we show a part of God for other people to behold and they become something. Like when we talk about marriage and all of that, I tell my wife something sometimes. I say, listen, there are two things about you as a person you must understand. Not only are you a woman that wants to be happy, and these are godly principles that beget happiness in a home. Secondly, you are Pastor Banky's wife. A lot of young women will take examples from you on how to treat young their young husbands also. That there are things you will do wrongly, and you'll be amazed at the number of people you are given the liberty to misbehave. And there are things you will do correctly. You'll become, because I know, look, this is not bragging. I'm a teacher. All right? I'm a teacher of the gospel. You have left everything you have to do to come and listen to me for an hour and a half this evening. You know what that means? I'm influencing your life. Whether you like it or not, it's not only the words that I speak. There's the way I behave. It's affecting the way you behave also. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. There's a way you're supposed to do business so that the people after you will learn it. And it's called a face of God. God has many faces. Are you getting my point? There's a way you do your work as a civil servant. And God is not gaining anything personally. He's just saying that the people after you, they will have to copy this thing. This is the only way, this is the only place they will learn that thing from. And that's why I say you mustn't be afraid to be different. Just be sure that you are following what is recorded, that is scriptures now. You're not deviating from it. And within the context of that, you are expressing your uniqueness. I remember when I first started Kingdom World Ministries here. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I've never in my life been to a meeting, all right, where people don't, as a rule, they don't praise and worship to warm up the atmosphere. Somebody just grabs the microphone, prays for 5 minutes. Everybody sits down. Then I walk in. And I start teaching. We finish teaching, then we take our announcements, and we don't do offering time, blessing time. If somebody blessed today, show your appreciation by giving the Lord a special offering. You know, I don't believe in it. I don't like it. I don't like to do it. Is it evil? No, it is low. Now, get my point. It is what? What did I call it? It is low. Say it now. What did I call it? It's low. Run by low. Adults don't behave like that. Are you getting my point? No, adults don't behave like that. It's when I make you feel happy. You will not give me. I run nonsense. I excite you so that when I think that, maybe I ask Israel, are you sure? Have we paid Omega TV? No. And how, what do we go do now? Say, Pastor, just preach a hot message now. It's all right. Hey, somebody feeling happy today. Woo! JJ Okocha, amen. Praise God. Then, were you excited today? Deep your hand in your pocket. Say the Lord, Lord, I was excited. Oh, this is for your excitement. No, that's childish. It's sometimes it's pure wickedness. Sometimes it's childish, other times it's pure what? Wickedness. People came to be blessed, not to be excited. They came to have their life directed, not you to come and manipulate them. I hope you get my point. What do I believe? I believe that, look, listen. If something is good, and you are like the Shunammite woman, you say, this appears like a servant of God that passes by us every day. Let's build in my house. And that is, if you have the means, and then let us build, you know what I mean, airtime on Cosmo. Let's build airtime on Omega TV. Let's build, pay rent here, you know these things cost money. I don't have to wind you and twist you. And if I need to do that, as God is my witness, obviously, I don't need you. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I hope you're following the principle. All these things, I didn't see people do it. Some of my friends thought that the reason why I didn't used to take off when I go for meetings is because I had money to pay. In fact, one of my friends was counseling with me that, no, he said, I've seen an example. There's a problem I've seen with a lot of preachers like you who work part-time and do ministry. You know, they don't like to take offerings. I didn't know. I said, no, you are making a mistake on my personality. Nobody taught me all of these things. I settled down and observed it. I said, no, we must raise men who truly are men of God. Some of the greatest support we have for Kingdom World Ministries, the people don't come near Enugu at all. What am I saying? That's become a habit. We've done it now for many years, and I can assure you, after a while, it's not people will be copying it necessarily. Some will copy it uselessly, but there are other people that I will liberate from the bondage of, once you want to do ministry, you must go and look for choir. And like, oh, have you seen small church trying to start choir? Oh God, you feel sorry for them. Today we have a special song for you. Do you want a revolution? Who? Who? Oh, yeah. Do you want a revolution? Who? Who? Now you see one attempted cake, frankly. I say, hey, pastor, you don't need this choir now. Instead of them blessing you and exciting, you are feeling sorry for them. And you see one boy trying to play keyboard. Pam, 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 goes out of key. You, the invited preacher, you put down your head. Say, my God. Now, really, really. Some of those people, they wouldn't have done that, except that somebody told them that's the only way to do ministry. That's the only way. The sweat over choir, sweat over organizing. You see the pastor after 1 year, he has lost weight. If you see me lose weight here, it's gym I went to. Or I started dieting. What kingdom work can't give me headache. I was telling the co-workers this morning that, wait, they said Cosmo FM is off air. Pastor, what are we going to do? I said, did we build it? You know that kind of thing. Did we start Cosmo FM? What am I going to do? I have prayed for them. Those of us were here in the morning. You saw we prayed for not only for us, but for those who work there. There are families that depend there on those that place functioning to get their daily bread. So we prayed for them. What are we going to do? There are people who are getting headaches because some of us have not yet described God for them. Are you getting my point? And if you will bother to describe God, you will give liberty into the lives of some people. There are those who can't conceive of ministry, except you gather people on Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made. And even God is not accepting the praise because he knows. No, listen. You know, God is not foolish. You can't deceive him. The Bible says that God is not mocked. So this is your praise. It's not for me. It's so you are waiting. The crowd never plenty. The young man doesn't feel like he should preach. Only the whole hall is full. Those of you who know me very well. One of us had two people without. I will preach my life out for two people. One of them, my wife. Are you getting my point? Some young men don't know that you can do ministry like that. That you can be an evangelist without trying to gather people by force on Sunday morning. And if they don't come, you're angry. People are not faithful again. You're not faithful. You're not faithful again. You're angry with them. Because you're an evangelist. Who's, you know? You're angry. You don't know you can go and preach. Finish your preaching. All right? Go back to your home. Or go back to a normal job. Or go and do something else. You can finish your preaching and you do, you know, you finish and then you go home. You don't have to build a tabernacle around every success that you have. You can go and do crusades somewhere, finish, people give your life to Christ, you lead them to another church. Say, pastor, I believe you're a strong man of God. You can handle these new converts. I will be praying for you. I'll visit you like 3 times in a year until they are steady. It's my responsibility to write a path of God for the world to see. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, it is your responsibility. That's where I'm going. To write a particular part of God, a description of God for the earth to see. And that really is what the work of God is. Don't be afraid to be unique in your identity. Don't be afraid of it. Because you owe it to God. God's assignment for your life is so that you will describe him for people. And the fruitfulness of your life is so that you can accurately express God. So that God won't bless you if what you are trying to do is not describing him properly. I hope you understood what I've said today.